to get up.
Chris Fade is here.
Wake up. Get up.
Chris Fade. There's never too much info on the Chris Fade Show. Pratim Mal.
Yes, there always is. It is always.
And Dig Rossi.
99% of my life is not a commercial, but that 1%.
This is the Chris Fade Show.
Virgin Radio.
104.4.
Are you ready to make some noise? 1, 2, 3, come on.
Yes. Hello, Mum. Hello, Dad. We are live. 6:03 across the UAE, Wednesday morning, August 5th. No matter where you are, thank you for having us on. Thank you for watching this. Thank you for listening as we do it live. Not only across the country, we're live on Facebook right now, across the world. Good morning, Pretty Molly.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Big Rossi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've got our phone guy Eddie Nala in Studio 2. We're ready to do this. We are ready to get this show underway. Again, we've woken up this morning to horrific news, to sad news of what has happened in Beirut, Lebanon. I'm shook, man. I didn't sleep well last night. I was watching the news till about 1 a.m. in the morning. My eyes would not be peeled away from it, just seeing what's going on. A huge explosion took place in Beirut, Lebanon, in the port area. Mm-hmm. Right now, confirmed 78 people dead. It is something that we haven't seen before. No. It's like something out of a movie.
It's crazy.
I saw it come up on my Instagram feed. I thought this was old footage. I thought it may have been a movie. I quickly got onto the internet, typed in Lebanon, went to news, and I just saw that a huge explosion occurred. I've got goosebumps as we do it. I know that everybody around the world is supporting Lebanon right now, including the UAE.
Yep. Yeah.
Say thank you for that Burj Khalifa lighting up with the Lebanese flag last night. It's just so sad.
It is
so sad.
Absolutely. What a beautiful city. What a beautiful country.
We were you know, all of us together a couple of years ago to celebrate a wedding. I used to go there a couple of times a year. I got on the phone instantly, called all my family. I got a lot of family.
Are they all safe?
Everyone was safe. However, just to explain to you the severe force of this explosion.
Yeah.
And if you live in the UAE, let me explain this. If you are in Bur Dubai.
Yeah.
Touch wood, and that explosion happened in Bur Dubai. Your windows were shattered in Dubai Marina.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That's just insane.
Our Virgin Radio studios that we have in Lebanon, their windows completely shattered. They were like 25, 30 kilometers away from the actual explosion.
It's just such a sad.
Just really puts it into perspective, that, doesn't it? That distance of what you're talking about. It's crazy.
And you know, they said it was a huge cache of ammonium nitrate, an explosive compound. Now, here's the problem. It's been stored there for more than 6 years. It shouldn't have been stored. It shouldn't have been there.
And 2,500 tons.
And if the country wasn't already hurting and needing the help with their economic instability, with the coronavirus, with the political instability, and now this, my heart, and I think all our hearts are going out to you, Lebanon. So no matter where you are right now, we want to say thank you so much for the love and the support. I received hundreds of messages on my Instagram, bunch of calls, and I just can only imagine what people in Lebanon are receiving. You are not alone. We are with you. We will talk about it later on in the show, where you can help, how you can donate blood, cash, funds, food, and more. We will do that this morning right here on the Chris Fade Show. Still to come as well. On a brighter note, we are giving you the chance of winning a two-bedroom villa for free. You can have it for the year rent-free. This is unbelievable. Gossip still to come. People are up defending Ellen DeGeneres, which is fantastic.
The big celebrities like Kevin Hart, Katy Perry, and more.
Be blessed to what you have right now, all right? Because there are a lot of people around the world doing it a lot worse. If you're on Facebook, good morning, guys. Tag me. Tell us where. Tell us where you're listening from right now. Where are you watching us?
Yeah.
Share this video right now. I want you to share it. Here on the Chris Fade Show. So I thought it was apt that I would wear my Beirut, Lebanon cap this morning. I have never worn this cap, to tell you the truth. I think I wore it once just to put it on, but then I didn't want to ruin it. I was like, oh, no, I want to keep this up there. And I had it. Had it all up on my bookshelf, on the top level. This beautiful cap that I'm wearing right now, and today, as I was leaving the house, I thought, oh, I better put it on. I feel like I want to put it on. family and friends, I called them instantly. Man, it's just crazy. Like, some of my family in Lebanon live in the mountains, right? Like, you know, again, hundreds of kilometers away. It's like, again, from sort of like the Bur Dubai area to Jebel Ali,
right?
You know, and when I saw that it happened in the Ports area, I was like, okay, well, they should be okay. But I called them up. I said, how are you? They're like, we're okay. Our house is, all the windows have been shattered. And I'm like, well, what do you mean all the windows have been shattered?
So far away.
That blast. I mean, that was just crazy, right?
Well, it was
felt
in Cyprus.
I know. Can you believe that? That it was felt in another country, this blast. It was just, again, it was like out of a movie. It was like out of, I've never seen an explosion.
Same.
That wasn't in a movie. I mean, the only thing that I can resemble it to is what we the Hiroshima that mushroom cloud that you infamously see on movies on TV.
You're right.
Like that was the only thing that I saw that I was like I was baffled.
Yeah.
I sort of, you know, it's that not accepting of it. You don't want to believe it.
Yeah, and then you try to like, I remember looking at the video last night and I watched it over and over again and trying to analyze it. Like, what is this? What is happening? And then you're trying to connect, as you said, Chris, like it looks like it's removed from so many of the central area. But then you look at all the footage of the damage and it's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And you're trying to get into perspective how big this blast actually was.
Huge, man.
You know?
The Ashrafi area, which is like the sort of downtown, really beautiful area, which has been rebuilt after the bombings and the war that it's gone through over the last, you know, in the 70s and 80s. That beautiful area it looks like another war zone now.
We were there.
It's beautiful. It's like, it's sort of like a mix between City Walk and the Madinat Jumeirah.
I remember we went shopping there. We went for breakfast.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
it's
just such a beautiful country, man. And we've been saying it for years. Such a beautiful country. And it's literally, Lebanon is the country that just can't get a break. It's like, they cannot get a break. Every year there is something that's going on. You know, I've got friends and family that before this blast were talking to me about how they're getting out. They can't survive there. You can't take money out of the bank. You can't take more than $40 out of the bank. Financially, it's done.
Yeah.
And this is just the nail. This is horrible. So, you know, waking up this morning, I sort of wanted to pretend that it was sort of like a dream. Like, oh, did that really happen? You know, when you wake up after something, like you get bad news and you're not sure why you're in that mood.
Yeah.
But now I was like, oh, gosh. You know,
the drive to work's just completely different.
It is.
It's just the whole feeling of it. It's horrible.
I got calls from people in Australia. The Australian radio stations are talking about it. Like, they called me up. A few of the big radio stations in Australia, the ones that we do some work for, KISS, they called me up. They're like, Chris, first of all, we know it's far away from Lebanon, Dubai, but is everyone your call? I said, yeah, how's your family? I said, they're fine. And they were like, hey, we just want to talk to people in Lebanon. Could you give us some contact? So I passed on a few to them, some of my friends and family and people that work in the media in Lebanon. And they, you know, I mean, just to let you know that it's being covered. This is a world thing. It's their headline. My relatives in America, Brianna's family, are now messaging me. It's headline news in the States. So, you know, again, it's just one of those moments where you got to feel blessed to be in such a safe country. Someone messaged me last night who would have thought living in Dubai would be one of the safest cities in the world. And I said, you know what? 100%.
Yeah.
One of the safest, touchwood, cities in the world, country, the UAE, one of the safest countries in the world year on year. And we just got to be blessed to be able to do what we do, sit in this luxurious radio studio, looking at the biggest building in the world, looking at the Burj Al Arab, you know, doing what we do. So some of us may be going through some bad times with the coronavirus, but at the end of the day, what's happening in Lebanon is the bottom of the pack right now, and we do not want to be there. So again, we'll touch on it. We are going to cross live to Lebanon throughout the show. We'll have our news team come in here, give us the up-to-date mentions as well. If you've got any friends or family and, you know, you want us to reach out, feel free. But yeah, that's just, you know, I don't want to focus the entire show on it, but I just think we have to really shine somewhat of a light on what's happened in the last 12 hours. You know, it's a global thing that we're talking about right now.
Hollywood. Stars. Pretty Malick's gossip.
All right, gossip. Look, what is going on?
Hey, Tiffany Haddish is in love. She's in love. She's confirmed that she's in a relationship with Common. What a power couple that is. Now, the two have been friends since co-starring in The Kitchen, but things changed when the world went into lockdown. They were sort of like in the flirtatious stage before that. And then obviously with the lockdown, they were talking a lot more and they realized that they are actually together. They really like each other.
That's cute. I mean, I like that. I think that they're a good couple. If you don't know Common, Common's one of the greatest MCs. He's also an actor.
Yeah.
My friend in Australia was with him for a few months whilst he was in Australia. She said he's back then, this is 15 years ago.
Yeah.
He was very spiritual, very...
I feel like he still would be.
On a different level, but she said he was very, very sweet.
Very sweet. Well, Tiffany was talking on a podcast, and she spoke out about the relationship. Have a listen.
I feel more confident in me. Not, and it's not him that's doing it, but it's it's just like, happier.
I guess
stable.
Yeah, way happier. And it's like knowing that I got somebody that cares about me, that really has my back. Like, it seems like he does anyways.
I believe it.
I love him.
I love him.
Oh, she's happy. It's always good to find that love. Good on her. Tiffany Haddish there. What else you got for us?
So Ryan Reynolds has finally made a statement regarding his wedding to Blake Lively 8 years ago. If you didn't know, it was quite controversial. They got married in South Carolina in 2012. It was a slave plantation called Boone Halls.
Jeez. Oh,
and they were really called out for it when they realized the history of the place.
Obviously, they did not know
beforehand, but they knew. Yeah,
gosh, so, that would be such bad news to have your wedding at a place, and then after the wedding, find out that it was a slave plantation.
Yeah,
and then you know, and he's famous, so he knows he's going to cop it.
Yeah, but it's taken them 8 years. They did have another remarriage a few years ago. They didn't really say anything then, but now he's finally spoken. He says it's something we'll always be deeply and unreservedly sorry for. Yeah. It's impossible to reconcile. What we saw at the time was a wedding venue on Pinterest. What we saw after was a place built upon devastating tragedy. He said we can only move on and learn. And they are trying. They are doing a lot to help with the Black Lives Matter movement as well, trying to get involved.
Sure.
But that's your statement on that.
That is not. I don't want to say it. It's they're not ignorant. I just don't think they had no idea. You picked a wedding venue. How do you know that? You know, you're not going to go do the history of every single place you go get married.
Yeah, they just thought it was a pretty venue, and that's that. So
the venue, I mean, they're the ones that you need to have looked at. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
All right, finally.
Okay, so Kevin Hart has come out in support of Ellen DeGeneres. You know, you guys, this whole investigation has been going on. Toxic work environment on the show. Kevin says, I've known Ellen for years, and I can honestly say that she's one of the dopest people on the planet. She's treated my family and my team with love and respect from day one. He also added that he's not meaning to disregard the feelings of others and their experiences. This is just my experience. Katy Perry also came out to say, I know I can't speak for anyone else's experience besides my own, but I want to acknowledge that I've only ever had positive takeaways from my time with Ellen, and you have to give it up for all the work that she's done.
It's good on her. I like that Kevin Hart and both Katy Perry are sticking up for Ellen. I think that's important. I think she's going to need that support from her friends.
Yeah.
And also Hollywood at the same time. Again, we can't blame Ellen if the team is the one that's getting most of the flack, which that's what it seems like. It's like the management, the assistants, the producers.
Yeah.
Now, they're saying that she was aware of it.
Yes, that's
Do we know? Like, I don't know.
I mean, when it's your executive producer, though, I feel like watching that show, The Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston. It's just changed my... Because in that show...
Yeah.
Everyone knew but turned a blind eye.
Sure, because it's the big dog,
you don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good show. If you haven't watched the show, the one that Pretty's talking about.
The Morning Show.
It's got
Steve Carell, Jennifer Aniston.
It's shot so well. Really good. I think it's on Apple TV. That's where I was seeing
it.
Go out and check that out. Thank you, Pretty Malik. Hit us with your tag.
Peace out, home fries.
It's World Oyster Day, right?
Yeah.
I used to love oysters before I got food poisoning from them about 7 months ago with Brent Black. Brent and I both had the same oysters. We both were gone.
Yeah, both had food poisoning.
And I feel like 7 months later, my stomach ain't the same. Like, I still feel like I'm struggling from it.
There's that bacteria you can get from stuff like that.
Yeah, I got tested for it. There was only small signs of, like, there was a little bit of elevation, the doctors would say, but nothing. But I'm telling you, like, I loved it. I used to, like, lemon... Little bit of vinegar with the onion in it, and just.
You have to be careful though, as you say.
Yeah, but I don't think I can do oysters anymore. And I had it at a really reputable place here as well.
Like, where was it?
What? Do you want me to say the company?
No, don't.
I'll say if you want me to tell you. You're the one that asked me for it, but it'll be on you.
I was just.
It's a nice place, but Brent and I were both done. We're both done. But hey, we look back at it at oysters. They've got a bad rap. A few years ago, we had Michael Schiavello come into the studio. Now, who's Michael Schiavello? He's one of the greatest MMA fighter commentators. He's a commentator. He's Australian. He's great at what he does.
So,
he's just got the greatest energy.
Energy.
Now, Rossi double booked him, which means he booked him in for the interview at 8 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
At the same time at 8 a.m., we had one of the world's best oyster chefs.
Shucking. Yeah. A shucker.
A shucker. Yeah, he shucks. He's one of the world's fastest shuckers. What's that? It means he can open up an oyster and get it all ready and prepared, ready to go.
Because that can be a dangerous process, right?
It's not easy.
It's not. Like, you could really hurt yourself doing something like that.
So I go to Rossi, why have you double booked him? What? We've got an MMA commentator coming in at the same time as the world's fastest shucking chef.
So well, what do we do on the Chris Fade Show?
We decided to have a little bit of a competition. We got Michael Schiavello, the MMA commentator, to commentate Rossi and I up against each other in a shucking competition. Welcome to the Shuckers.
Okay, first of all, in the blue corner, he stands 6'3" with a beautiful British accent. Donning his black apron, let's introduce the shucking master, Ross!
Thank you!
And in the red corner, originally from Sydney, Australia, now Dubai's favourite voice of the radio, the one, the only, Chris the Freak Fade! These two men are ready, they are hyped, they are set, they are ready to shuck some oysters. Now, boys, if you find a pearl in there, I want it. If you can have the oysters, I'll take the pearls.
All right, here we go. So, we've got the, what are these called?
Are they little shucking knives? You got shucking knives in your hands?
I've been using these in Sydney.
Hey! This isn't King's Cross, Chris.
Okay, true.
All right, Chris is ready. He's got his shucking knife in hand. Okay. Xavier's set up the oysters here.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! Oh,
Chef Xavier takes to the table, digs a knife into the oyster, shucks it wide open here, and the boys are going on their oysters as well. Now that Chef Xavier has set the path of what to follow, it's Chris versus Ross, and look at them go. Not one oyster opened yet from Ross. He's struggling with it, so is Chris. He's looking for an opening, but he can't find one here. The two boys are struggling. Meanwhile, Chef Xavier already has 6 oysters shut. Can you believe it? The world champion, the Guinness record holder, now has 7 oysters shucked inside of 30 seconds. Chris may have one down. Ross is still struggling here. It's pandemonium in the studio. Chris is trying to crack his oysters open. It's an illegal move off the top rope with a foreign object from Chris Fade. And meanwhile, Chef Xavier must have shucked through 12 or 13 oysters. That's crazy. Chef Xavier takes the crown yet again. Ross, did you even get one shucked?
Did you open one, Chris?
No, I didn't open one. Oh, I tell you,
fail.
Absolute fail, but that guy, Michael Schiavello, can make anything sound absolutely interesting.
For sure.
Love it. International World Oyster Day. I hope you enjoy possibly an oyster today. It's Virgin Radio. Wow. Last night, it came up on the gram, and I was in shock. I thought I was watching a movie. I thought it was out of a movie scene. I thought it was old footage of Lebanon. I did not realize, I could not fathom, I did not believe that it was happening right now. That destruction, that bomb that exploded last night in Lebanon has shook the world, has shook me, and it has shaken, if not destroyed, Beirut, Lebanon. The people were already going through hard times. The economy, politically. But Lebanon and the people, they never stop. They're so strong. They're resilient. No matter what they've gone through over the last 40 years of destruction, they always shine bright. They always look so good. They always have that positive attitude. I'm an Australian passport holder, but my blood is Lebanon. I grew up with the Christian George Fahed name that I have. Mm. And I'll always be Lebanese by blood. And just to know that my country is hurting, it hurts me. I went to bed last night watching that news and I couldn't sleep. And it's weird. It's a country that I've only visited maybe, 15 or 20 times in my life. Yeah. But it just really, really hurt. I've spoken to a lot of my friends and family in Lebanon. And thankfully, they're okay.
Yeah.
But just to talk about how big this force was, the destruction that took place, I put it in the terms of the UAE right now. If we're sitting here in Dubai Marina, let's say, your windows would be shattered in Bur Dubai. That's the destruction. Our Virgin Radio studios that we have in Lebanon, their windows are completely shattered. They're 35 kilometers away from where the explosion took place. It's just so, so hard to understand and what's going on. As I said, a country that is hurting already, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And we're here for you. And one of the reasons why I'm on the show today that I wanted to make sure that we gave it the light that it needs to be given, and it needs to be given a lot more light than it is, than it has got right now. Thank you, Nadia, from the ARN News Centre. Thank you for joining us this morning. You've got everything up to date. You've got, you know, you guys at the ARN News Centre know everything that's going on. Tell us, feed us more info. What do we need to know?
So obviously the basics, we know what happened last night. Massive, massive explosion in Lebanon, and it was apparently in the port area, a warehouse. Now, what they're saying is they think it's about 2,500 tons of a chemical, ammonium nitrate, that was actually being stored there. Mm-hmm. So clearly, again, a built-up area, you know, lots of damage that can happen there.
Yep.
But apparently that's been stored there for the last 6 years. And clearly something's happened and the whole thing's gone off. And we saw from the videos just the destruction and damage that went for miles.
Yep.
And as you were saying, just to put it into context, how far it went, I mean, they felt it over 100 kilometres away in Nicosia in Cyprus.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, to actually have that kind of that sort of reach to an explosion like that. I was listening to some audio from a bomb disposal expert in the UK who was saying literally in his experience, he's never seen anything, you know, bar something that would be like a nuclear explosion.
Of course.
He's never seen anything of that extent and of that nature before.
Visually for us, I was just saying, the Hiroshima bomb like that you see on footage, the only thing that I can relate to what I saw last night was that I haven't seen anything like that, except in a movie.
Yeah,
except
for sure.
In a Hollywood blockbuster movie. That's why when I saw it last night, I thought it was, you know, Will Smith recently posted a Russian video editor who was able to create really cool virtual videos that were real.
Like effects. And putting different
When I
things.
Saw it, I thought this was a video editor. I thought this was, and I thought, wow, that looks realistic. And then I instantly, as I do, get onto Twitter. That's where I usually go to find out what's going on. I typed in the hashtag Lebanon, and then it all came up. Obviously, at this stage, they said 78 lives have been lost. That's where we're at.
78 lives lost, thousands more injured. There's reports of hospitals there saying they're completely overwhelmed. People are on their way to give blood and make blood donations and stuff to try and help the injured. But yes, at the last count, we said 78 people have so far been injured. Of course, that death toll almost surely and very unfortunately is going to rise.
Yep.
But yeah, we'll keep an eye on that and make sure that we bring you all the very latest details. But yeah, just frightening, really.
There are a bunch of official websites which we'll share with you shortly on the Chris Fade Show Instagram where you can help, whether it be funds or food or clothing or anything like that. Right now, they do need blood. So obviously, if you've got the relatives in Lebanon, get them out there to give the blood because the hospitals are hurting already. They were already hurting, to tell you the truth.
With the
coronavirus.
In a pandemic as well. Just, yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's horrible. Nadia from the ARN News Centre, we may catch up with you later today. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
You know, I woke up this morning and Mum sent me a message. That was the first thing that she did. And I just want to play you my Mum's message here if I can... hit it right here.
It is shocking, baby, and where it is, it's near the port, but we'll be away from our loved one, Camille, and the family and all that. But it is heartbroken, Hayati. I had tears in my eyes. It's my country. I feel it because I'll live there. It's so sad, but it's okay, Rohalbi. We just have to pray. Keep safe, Rohalbi. Bye, Rohalbi.
It's my mum crying this morning, huh? Virgin Radio. Obviously, reflect on what's gone on in the last sort of 12 hours. Beirut, Lebanon, that a huge explosion that took place. Just mind-boggling. Your eyes don't understand what it's looking at. You think you're watching a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Then you realize it's it. We've got people messaging us right now saying that some of them have got their family in hospital right now. A lot of the windows have been shattered in most of the houses across like a radius of like 20 to 30 kilometers of where the explosion took place. Just, I don't think you understand. It was felt in Cyprus. Cyprus, another country, felt it. Thought it was an earthquake going on. It's just unbelievable. What do you need to know? 78 people at this stage have been confirmed dead. Many more, they're expected to say, the health ministry. A huge cache of ammonium nitrate, an explosive compound that had been stored on this site for the last 6 years. It shouldn't have been there. Someone has dropped the ball, literally. Someone has dropped this ball.
2,500 tons of this stuff was stored there.
Small explosion started it, okay? And then the big one, which we've all seen.
So it must have, like, lit the other ones up, right?
Yeah.
Like, it must have been a small one, and then it just kept rolling on.
I don't know if you saw the videos of people on boats. A lot of, obviously, Lebanon's on the beautiful sea there, and a lot of people just like to, you know, get on their little boats and sail it. It was scary, man, because they were watching this from probably 3 to 4 kilometers away. And what they saw was a fire. They thought was a fire. And then the explosion happened. That wave, it's like a tsunami. It's tragic. Listen, we're gonna talk more about it throughout the show. We'll have more people on live from Lebanon as well, just after 8 this morning. So hang out with us. Up next, we'll get you back to the music and we'll look at the lighter side of life, I guess. Yeah.
All the latest gossip.
It's Pretty Malik's Gossip.
What have you got?
Here's the update on Kanye's presidential run in the U.S.
Are we really still talking about Kanye running for president?
The reason we're talking about it, because it's actually happening.
Yeah, it just needs to stop. Kanye, you need to stop.
So he missed getting on the ballot for a bunch of states and a lot of key states like New York, Maryland, Kansas. But he's filed to run as an independent for the Birthday Party, or BDY, in various different states. He had previously mentioned his VP, his vice president, is going to be a woman named Michelle Tidball, who is someone that he knows from Wyoming, who's a preacher. But he's not listed her in every single state as the VP. Sometimes he's left it blank. So very erratic, very all over the place. So I don't know what's going to happen here, but he is getting on some ballots.
Okay.
But he's missing a lot of them. In a lot of these states, you need a minimum of like 1,000, 2,500 signatures to get on it, and he's not able to get it done before the deadline.
Listen, if he had any credibility to run, I feel like he's lost it in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
As in he's lost that credibility of people wanting to be like, you know what, let's keep Kanye a run here. It couldn't get any worse.
I feel like he just needs to focus on him, make sure he's okay. And then, hey, you know what, in 4 years, if you really want to build your platform and go for it, go for it.
Yeah, do it the right way, Kanye. Yeah. All right.
Selena Gomez finally revealed that her Rare Beauty line will be launching on September 3rd, and that's only a few weeks away. For the moment, it's going to be available at Sephora.com in Sephora Canada, Sephora Mexico, and then their website, rarebeauty.com, and I'm sure it'll make its way worldwide. So that's exciting for her.
Cool
the line
stuff.
Looks really cool. And finally, neighbors are not happy with David and Victoria Beckham. Rossi's Cotswolds place?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's a lovely sort of...
Sounds rich.
Yeah, it does
Cotswolds.
Sound
rich. It's like country vibes.
Yeah, so it's like farm vibes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, a lot of the neighbors have sent complaints to the town's council about all the proposed changes they want to make to their property. The neighbors are saying, listen, you chose to live in a farm area. Stop trying to change the land and turn it into like an urban city. David and Victoria reportedly want to like upturn all the land and make lakes and ponds and all these different structures. So one of the letters says, if they don't want to live in the countryside in an open area of green fields, why buy the properties in the first instance? After all, they have properties in LA, Florida, New York, and London.
Imagine having that many houses.
Imagine.
And Miami. They just bought like a massive
penthouse. There's people that
have
just got houses around the world that are empty. Do you know that?
Yeah.
So it's like they just go, oh yeah, we're going to the Hamptons. We've got a house in the Hamptons, and then we're going to Ibiza. Yeah, we've got a little house there. And
you
go,
it's
like a little house is like 9-bedroom house.
Yeah.
Got a house in Istanbul, Turkey, that we go there sometimes for the summer. In the winter, we like to go.
Yeah, we winter
stop.
Here.
It's
we
crazy,
summer
right?
there.
It's crazy. There it is. Thank you, Pretty Malik. Hit us with your tag.
Peace out, home fries.
Here she is right now.
Hi, this is Victoria Beckham, and you're listening to the Chris Fade Show.
I wish we didn't have to talk about such things at 7:36 in the morning. But we're all on the way to work, and we've all got our own issues, right? Some of us are losing jobs. Some of us don't have a job, financial constraints. But then we shift, 5.5 hours, a little bit under, depending on which route you go to Lebanon. And you see what they're going through right now. A country that was already suffering. They've been suffering for years. But they're resilient and they always put a smile on their face, the people of Lebanon. They always keep going. They're there to have fun, party, work, be creative, be together, families, everything. And then last night, around 13 hours ago, a double explosion in the ports has already taken 78 lives. And that's what we've got right now. When I saw this footage last night, I was, no pun intended, blown away. I could not believe it. I could not believe what I was seeing.
Yeah.
I sent it straight away to a couple of my mates from Lebanon, and I said, guys, are you okay? I got the response, we're fine. Windows damages, our home's damaged, but we're okay, thankfully. It's not for everyone, though. Some people have lost lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're getting a lot of messages and calls this morning It's taken over the world press. Everyone's talking about it. It took over Sky News, Al Jazeera, BBC. All yesterday, it was just breaking news. They wouldn't go away from it. The radio stations in my home country, Australia, were talking about it nonstop. I know the UK are talking about it this morning. So I thought, you know, we can't just not mention it or give it a little mention in the news. I think we've got to bring light to it and just let the guys know in Lebanon that we are here with you. And as the Burj Khalifa was lit up with the Lebanese flag yesterday, it made me feel proud. As I keep saying, I'm an Australian passport holder, but by blood, I'm Lebanese. You know, and I called my family instantly and asked if they were okay, and they were, thankfully. I spoke to one of my closest friends. He's like my brother, Joe. I said, mate, just get out, come over, come to Dubai.
Yeah.
Get your family out of there. He was already doing it tough with everything else that they were going through. I said, this is just, you got to get out. It's so unfortunate. It's such a beautiful country. But the leadership that they don't have and the leadership that they've been lacking for 30, 40 years, it just keeps showing its ugly face.
Yeah.
Jad, you've got through this morning. Jad, how are you, mate? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I know, mate. What a horrible morning to wake up to. How is the family in Lebanon?
Actually, my parents' brothers are okay, but we had the unfortunate incident where my brother-in-law's wife passed away working in the hospital. The hospital was completely damaged.
Your brother-in-law's wife passed away from this explosion that happened in Lebanon. She was in hospital, and the whole hospital has been destroyed.
Yeah, and thank God that day my brother's night shift, and his wife is also working day off. It was like it's going to be a more chaotic issue for us as a family. Mm. My brother had to go back to work, and he's an anesthesia technician. They were doing the operation over the mobile phone lights as well. So this is what how chaotic it was in hospitals. The major six major hospitals were fully damaged, and they had patients that they had to discharge, and many patients, unfortunately, passed away, but at the same time, many people were coming in and were not being able to be treated.
Yeah, the country was already suffering, obviously, with the coronavirus, and already, you know, the hospitals aren't great, the facilities aren't fantastic, the financial constraints that the country already has, and this is really just, as I said earlier on, it's like the nail that's just gone into that coffin, which is so horrible. I'm sorry to hear about your loss, man, and I know at this stage they're saying, you know, the world count's saying 78 deaths. I think there's a lot more to come from this huge explosion.
Yeah.
I've just, that video footage is sickening, man. Shad, please send our love to your family, mate, and we're here with you, okay?
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you, Virgin Radio. Thank you for that.
What was it? It was a huge catchment of ammonium nitrate, an explosive compound. It's been stored, more than 2,000 kilos of this has been sitting there.
Crazy.
For more than 6 years. Whose fault is it? Well, is anyone to be responsible for it? It should have never been sitting in a port area, an explosive of that matter.
Yeah, like that was huge amount.
It was an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And as I read on Instagram last night, it's so true. Lebanon just can't get a break. Mm. It's the country that can never get a break. As it starts to grow and you see a little bit of light, it just keeps happening. Our prayers and thoughts with everyone in Lebanon. And again, I want to thank the UAE lighting up the Burj Khalifa and the support that I've already seen on social media. I'll talk upon, you know, the Lebanese community here in the UAE. We really, truly want to say thank you. Nicholas, also from Lebanon, you've got family there. How are they? Are they okay?
Yeah, Chris, they're all good. Just my sister's husband's family, they got a little bit scratched, like the glass of their house exploded in their house.
Yeah.
Everyone is safe. Just wanted to ask, how's your family? Everyone is okay?
Mate, thank you. Yeah, man, my family's all right. I messaged all my family last night, and thankfully, they're okay. A few of the houses, like yours, shattered.
Right.
You know, man, that's the crazy thing about this blast is that, you know, I keep putting in the perspective of here in
it's
the UAE.
Crazy,
it's like if we were living in Bur Dubai and the explosion, you know, touch wood, happened in the marina, the Bur Dubai houses would have felt it, and all the glass would have been shattered. That's the proximity of this, the radius of this explosion, what it took out. It's just unbelievable. And you're seeing more and more videos. There's some shocking videos, which I don't want to watch. I started watching.
I think you know more than me. There's people who have no money, no houses already in Lebanon.
They were
already living in sheds.
Yeah,
you know,
I know,
and then this happened also.
Yeah, bro. I mean, like, it was... you know, not that any country should experience it, but like, you know, Lebanon was already on, you know, had 1 foot. It was still not even standing on 1 foot.
I understand. Yeah.
The 1 foot that it did have left was nearly broken, and this is just now just shattered at all. So, you know, as we keep saying, bro, our thoughts and prayers are with Lebanon. Thanks for calling in, mate, and God bless you as well. Sure. All right.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, mate. It just puts things into perspective. I think for all of us living here in the UAE, you know, we're down, we're depressed already with the coronavirus where we all are. We can't travel. We can't go do this. We can't do that. Some of us have lost our jobs, but it's just another moment where the worlds have aligned and everything aligned, and you just see your life and put it all into perspective of what we actually have.
For sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's exactly how it's another wake-up call. Just another wake-up call for us here. Hangout 746. You got a What's Rossi reading coming?
I have.
You're going to put us in a better mood?
I will. You'll love this story. Something a Tanzanian man has found has literally changed the lives of his whole village.
Okay, we'll find out next. Hangout. Oh.
He wants more airtime, so here he is.
It's What's Rossi Reading.
Yeah, that's a true story. Yeah. What have you got for us? Weird and Wonderful News at Rossi Reads.
So there's this Tanzanian small-scale miner who has become an overnight millionaire a couple of months ago for selling two rough Tanzanite stones valued at 12 million dirhams.
A lot of money.
He sold them, and then he found another gem for 7 million dirhams, so he got 19 million dirhams.
He's just finding these in the ground.
Yeah, so basically he's like a small-scale miner, so he buys that plot, and then he goes looking for this Tanzanite, and he's found it. But what he's decided to do with the money is not only have a party, he's decided to donate it back to his village where he's from.
That's great.
Build schools, build hospitals.
That's awesome.
I'm sure that's only going to cost like a couple of mil. This guy's sitting on some good cash right now.
Well, right now he is, but he's got 30 children.
What?
He's got 30 children.
30 children?
Yeah.
What?
That's what it says on the BBC. So.
How can you have 30? I mean, 30 kids, you just... Obviously not from the same woman.
No, obviously not.
Not yet. Rossi was thinking about it.
Yeah, he's like,
let's do the math.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Good on him, I guess.
He says it's not going to change him. He's going to continue to look after his 2,000 cows. But he's just, as you say, just donating back to the village, which is amazing. Absolutely fantastic.
Kids. Hold on, 2,000 cows.
2,000 cows.
Yeah, he's like a busy man, isn't he?
That's 2,033 kids, right?
Yeah.
What's a baby cow called?
A calf.
Calf.
Oh, what did I think it was called? A kid.
Eddie.
What's kid? What's a kid?
Goat, right?
Is it?
Eddie, do you know where the northern Manyara region is?
Probably the north of Tanzania.
I thought so, yeah. Yes, that's where it is.
Well, there we go. Well done. Miners always, yeah. I mean, they go and buy, you basically buy this land, and it's a gamble because you could get nothing in it or you could get everything. Imagine going to work every day just searching and not coming back with anything. And then one day you're hitting it. You know, good on him. Good on him. He deserves it. Well done. What's the joke, Ross?
It's a really happy one. When I die, I want my ashes converted into a jewel. I said, Liz, can you do that for me? She said, no, it's a lot of pressure.
Why? Because a jewel is...
That's like what you do. You pressure it
to make it
into a...
Yeah, everyone in the studio too, Eddie, Nala, they're all shaking their heads no.
I was searching for like 24 hours trying to find a good joke. I
couldn't. Do like something unrelated. Just give us a joke. Just give us a good joke.
Got anything else?
Yes, okay. Do you know people in Dubai don't like
that? Done, bye.
Oh, yeah, I just remembered what the remix, you know, we did a remix to it.
Yeah.
I did a I Got No Pants.
Oh,
yes, don't you remember?
That's what it was. I Got No Pants.
No Pants was the remix of that. Not funny at all. We've done a lot of parodies, haven't we, on the show? I mean, there's...
Come on. It's the remix.
What is this?
This goes out to every guy that doesn't fit into a pair of pants that, well, a skinny guy would, all right?
This is like 10 years old, this song.
Come on.
Wait, keep it going.
Come on.
I don't ever want to play it anymore.
I got it.
This hasn't been played in 9.5 years.
Let me tell you about a story. Uh-oh.
So good.
I went to the mall. Uh-oh. Because I had a big night and I needed to buy some pants. Yeah. But then the girl in the store came up to me and said, "Sorry, sir, I don't think we have your size." What? I was like, "Come on, man, I'm not that big. Let me see." She said, "We've only got 36. I was like, "Oh, H&M, please. Can you get bigger pants? H&M, please. Can you
true
get
story,
bigger
though.
Pants? H&M, please."
This is when I was really fat, right? I couldn't fit into anything. H&M, but even now at H&M,
can you get bigger pants?
Like, I can just get into their sizes now.
Now, well done.
Just to be clear, that's two songs in the history of the Chris Fade Show about pants. Few songs we've had about shaving.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. You can
there's
see
there's a lot of themes. You can see it.
Yeah, pants, pants and hair. That's what we're into.
Yeah,
we are cliche saying here breaking. We are breaking right now. That blast in Beirut happened about 13, 14 hours ago. A lot of you saw it on Instagram. You were, no pun intended, blown away when you saw it. I know I was.
Yeah.
I thought what I was looking at was out something out of Hollywood, or I thought it was old footage. My mind couldn't comprehend it. I stayed watching the news till about 1 a.m. yesterday morning. Or this morning, I woke up this morning at 4:30 to come into the work, and I was already just in that state of like, did that really happen? And I'm like, it did. Deaths over 70 already. The world is shaken up by this. I can't, you know, I can't stop thinking about what's going on there in Lebanon. Listen, we're crossing live to Beirut with our journalist, our correspondent on the scene right now, Linda Tamim. She works on the radio. She's already done a bunch of news broadcasts for the world in the last 12 hours. I don't think she's had much sleep. Linda, how are you? Hello, what's going on?
Chris, I've had better days, to be honest, Chris. I'm running on 2 hours of sleep, literally. I was doing live crosses all afternoon ever since it all happened until late in the evening. You know, the adrenaline was kicking in and I could not possibly sleep all night. But what can I tell you? It's just a disaster. It's the least I could say. It's a disaster. It's a disastrous situation. We are currently called a disaster-stricken country, or should I say city here, Beirut. And we're going to be in a state of emergency for very likely 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. You know, the Higher Defense Council has called upon that. And the president is supposed to have a cabinet meeting and run a cabinet meeting in a few hours' time now from now. What can I say? 73 dead, 4,000 feared wounded, if not more. And that number keeps on rising by the hour. So,
It's a city, it's a country that already was in dire straits, already needed the help, already needed the support. Obviously, with the economy, the politically how it stands, financially, the coronavirus, throw that in there, and now this blast has really, the one leg that you guys were standing on is now being crippled. I'm Australian passport holder, but I'm Lebanese by blood.
Yeah.
And I went to bed hurting. I woke up this morning sad. Can we rise from this? We're known as the Lebanese around the world. We're known to be, you know, the people that don't stop. We keep pushing through. Can we push through this, Linda? What do you think?
You know, Chris, every time I thought we could. I always thought we could. But every time, you know, things happen, more disasters, more catastrophes happen. You know, I'm just like, I'm just put down every single time. I hate to sound so pessimistic, but we will eventually rise from it all, I'm sure. It's just a matter of time. The question is when and how. Like, for all of us Lebanese, it's so hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. As you said, this was literally the last blow that we needed. We had so much going on already. You know, we had, just like the rest of the world, we have coronavirus. We have an increase in number of cases ever since the airport has reopened here in Beirut. And it's just been, we were talking about being on lockdown for a while. You know, the economy is already down. We're the first country in the Middle East and North Africa to enter hyperinflation. We're just pretty much in the same on the same page as Venezuela, if you want.
Are they working today? Are things open? Are things running right now? Or is the city just completely shut down?
Okay, I just... you know, literally drove out of the house just now. I'm heading over to a hospital to cover what's going on. I do see traffic. I do see people in the street, but everything is just shattered.
Yeah.
Like every single store, everything. All you see is glass all around you. It's all around Beirut. It's not just in one district. Of course, some of the, like, for example, Mar Mikhail is, and Jemaisi and Ashafi are slightly more affected than other areas. The areas closer to the port, you see. But it doesn't mean that other areas aren't affected. I mean, this tremor was felt all the way to Cyprus.
Yeah.
That just gives you an indication of how bad it was. It was really, like, definitely, I would say, one of the loudest, if not the loudest, explosion and the most powerful one that ever occurred in the country.
Yeah, our correspondent in Beirut right now, Linda Tamim, thank you so much. I know you're super busy. We'll let you go. Stay blessed. Our love and strength and thoughts with you guys there in Beirut. Thank you again, Linda.
My pleasure.
How do we help? What I can see right now, and again, it's the Lebanese Red Cross.
Yeah,
they've just put a statement out saying thank you to everyone who has reached out to help. Please note that any third party fundraising in the name of Lebanese Red Cross are not authorized or are not legal. All right. If you want to help, you can contribute directly via their app and their website, which is supportlrc.app. supportlrc.app. So do be careful if you do want to give, but go through the right process. Your Lebanese Red Cross, once again, supportlrc.app. Our thoughts and prayers with everyone in Lebanon, and we are thinking of them. And again, just thanks to the UAE, because you put the Burj Khalifa up last night as soon as it happened with the Lebanon flag, and I got goosebumps. I'm so grateful for this country. You're always so giving and so accepting, and thank you.
So this story is crazy. Do you ever watch, or have you ever watched any episodes of The Bachelor or Bachelorette?
I haven't sat down and watched an entire thing, but I've been bits in and out of it, you know?
So it's always a big deal when they announce who the next one is going to be, right?
So the premise of the show is they find a single woman or man.
Yeah.
And the premise of the entire show is that, hey, here are 20 guys. Out of one of these, you could marry them.
Yeah.
And they get married.
Usually they end up in a proposal. Usually. And then that proposal usually doesn't last very long. But hey, that's how the show ends. Mm. Well, they were doing The Bachelorette in the U.S.
Okay.
And they had announced Claire Crawley as, like, it was like a big thing. They announced her. Cool, great.
I'm Instagramming her now.
Okay. It's C-L-A-R-E.
Yep.
C-R-A-W-L-E-Y. And so she was the contestant. It was a big hoopla around it. They always make a big deal when they announce it. And then we hear she's being replaced on The Bachelorette.
So they announce her.
And then
she's being replaced.
They start filming. The filming has already started. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh no, she's being replaced by another woman named Tayshia. Why? Get this. Claire fell in love with a contestant on the show whose name is Dale Moss after just 12 days. Then refused to leave the hotel and told producers, I will not meet any other guy because I'm in love with this one. And then they left the show.
That's a cute little love story.
So she's
supposed to meet the 15 other men.
I mean, this is only day 12.
Okay, like, so she's supposed to meet all these other men.
Like, go through the rounds.
But within 12 days, she finds one of the men and she's like, well, hold on, I just want this one. I don't want to look at it anymore.
This is like the female version of Chris Fade.
Yeah.
Mr. Clingy.
Fallen in love.
In 12 days.
This has just ruined the entire show and the premise of what the show was all about.
So that's why they have a new bachelorette, which is fine.
So what, they've just brought her in and have the rest of the other guys, except that other man that's now, they're together. So is Claire and this guy together?
Yeah, apparently so.
Everyone's talking about The Bachelorette now.
Yeah, but because of that. I'm on her Instagram. There is not one photo of her with a guy.
Well, I think they have to go. Well, the whole thing about when they film these shows is they all sign these NDAs. Because until the show airs, you know, if a couple has gotten together, let's say she stayed till the end and this decision at the end, they have to sneak around and wear disguises to see each other so that people don't know who they end up with. They don't spoil the show.
Who is the guy?
His name is Dale Moss.
Dale, let's go have a look at this guy, see if he's verified.
So I feel like
120,000. He's an NFL athlete turned model and host. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Of course he fell in love with him.
So he's an ex-NFL player, so you know he's got the bulk. Yeah. And then he's a model.
On top of
and
it.
And he's a host. He's got a personality, ladies and gentlemen.
So she's in love. 12 days it took.
Sort of describes me there,
right? Oh, dear.
Stop, please.
Let me have, he's a very good-looking guy. So she's just falling in love with him.
Yeah, she's falling in love.
Look at him. Look at this guy.
Yeah, of course I'll fall in love with him. Like, look at him. Look at his eyes.
Yeah, he's a very good-looking dude. Well, this is crazy. So they're falling in love, like, after a couple of dates. Is it possible? Is it real? I want to ask you, have you fallen in love within a week, within 2 weeks, and got married, or he proposed to you, or she proposed to you?
Or you just knew.
You just knew. Is it real? 048715544. Call us. 048715544. Can too soon be too soon? Like, should you give it some time? My parents, they only knew each other for 4 weeks and they got married.
Oh, wow.
I know. Like, you look at our parents, right? It's just a different, I guess it was a different time.
But then I married my ex-wife within 5 months.
Yeah.
So I don't recommend, like, now I'm more about, like, you really got to get to know the person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But maybe there are couples that I know who are married for the last 20 years or the last 10 years and everything's good, but you only knew each other for a couple of weeks. I don't know. 048715544. Let's open up the phone lines. Do you need to wait? Can too soon be too soon? Or is it love at first sight for real?
Mm.
Omar, is it too soon?
Hi, Chris. Hi, guys. Hi, Rossi.
Hey, mate.
Is it too soon, Omar? What do you think?
It was too soon, of course. And when it happens magically, you know? I met my wife back in Jakarta when I was just traveling. I was just traveling to Bali in Jakarta. And I met her through a friend in a Starbucks. And we just exchanged our social media. And within a month that I know that this is the right girl.
So it's not too, but you're saying it's too soon, yet you're telling me within a month, meeting your girl at a Starbucks, exchanging social media, that you knew it was the right one.
Well, we met once, and then we continued chatting with each other, because I was in Dubai, she was in Jakarta.
Mm.
And then back in my head, I was quite sure within a couple of weeks, but then I proposed her within a month.
So you did it really fast.
Yes, I did.
So you're saying it's possible, yeah?
You're saying it's not too soon.
And we are married now almost 3 years.
That's great.
Okay, so there we are. Sorry, Omar, just to look back, Omar said it's not too soon, not that it is too soon. So, I mean, that shows you. I mean, it does show you.
Yeah, I mean,
within a month.
My sister only met her current husband, I think, 4 times before they got, she's like, he's the one. They've been married 10 years, 3 kids.
Zach couldn't do that. I don't think I could do that. I'm glad you're happy, though, Omar. That's exactly what you want to be. Is it Gida or Gida?
Gida.
Gida.
Gida, yes, J-I-D-A.
All right. Gida, is it too soon?
No, it's not.
Tell us.
I met my husband. I think I knew just before the end of the month that he was the one. What? And then we got engaged the next month and got married 7 months later. And it's been 8 years, two girls later, and I'm so happy.
That's so good. That's so good.
Can I ask, how did you, was it a feeling? Was it a spark? How did you know that this is the right thing?
We just got along with everything. You know, when we kept talking, we were chatting like day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And we agreed almost on everything. And he was funny and he was kind and he was like, you know, he did all the right things. And I just knew he was the one.
Wow.
That's fantastic. I love that. So you knew within the month and then the month later he proposed. Like, that's a big move.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I guess you both must have felt it, right? Because, you know, it's not usual that you would propose to someone just after the second month.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't want to risk it as a man proposing because you'd get rejected.
Yeah.
But obviously you had given him the signal to be like, yo, I'm ready.
Yeah, he knew.
He knew.
Well, good on you. Good on you. I'm glad. All right. Well, there we go. Maybe it's not too soon. Hala, you're saying it's not too soon as well.
No, it's not.
Tell us your story.
Okay, so actually I met a guy at Red Fest and I was seeing someone else at the time and I just knew on the day, it kind of felt like an arranged marriage. It was like, what? No, this can't be happening. Like, I knew this was going to be the guy and I actually left the other guy and and we had my partner, right, Renau, we didn't speak for a month, but we both knew that we were on each other's minds.
Really?
So weird.
You left. What about the poor guy that you were with?
He's not the one, Chris.
We don't talk about him. Chris,
This is about this guy. Yeah, but how long were you with the other guy that you were at? I love that this happened at Redfest, by the way, at our music festival. We're not only we're creating relationships, we're breaking them up at the same time. How long were you with the original guy?
It wasn't going great either. Like, it wasn't.
How long were you with him for?
It was on and off for a year.
Anyway, okay. All right. You're happy now? You're with the new guy?
On the radio.
Hey, are you happy now?
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's like when you know, because like we're so similar. So I kind of knew his vibe. Like at Redfest, he was just as crazy, but like just as normal as me. Yeah,
so. I get you. Well, that's cool. Ali, you got married in 4 days.
What?
Yes, that's true.
Tell me how this happened.
Well, this happened around 12 years ago.
Okay.
And we met, I was working with a company, and it was a cell phone provider. And over there, she came with a complaint. And that's how we met. And there were issues were related to some of her ex, whatever it is. And then that helped her out. And we just clicked, and we just met like 4 days in a row.
Uh-huh.
It goes in a day, in a week. I kept on meeting her, go out and see her, and we had like dinner or something. And we just like, it was that there. It was in my heart. It says, yes, she's the one. And it went both ways. And it's going on still. 12 years now.
How long you been together for now?
12 years.
Gosh, that's amazing, man.
So she came with a complaint about something, and you guys just clicked. That's crazy. That's a love story.
It was a fight at first sight. Virgin Radio 104.4. That is it for us for your Wednesday. What did you just have a sip of then? What was that? Is that coffee?
Coffee.
Is that your second cup today?
I do two cups in one. I do a nice tall little canister of coffee.
But the same amount of caffeine, or are you doubling the caffeine as well?
Well, I do like 2 spoons. Is that a lot?
That's a lot of coffee, yeah.
Maybe I need to stop. But I love it.
I had a coffee this morning, and now I'm having a caffeine infused energy drink. Well, which
was the coffee not enough?
Yeah, I'm doing this energy thing. It's supposed to like lean you out at the same time. But yeah, it's too much. I realized at about 3 o'clock yesterday, I've had way too much caffeine.
Are you doing the shakes?
A little bit jittery. Yeah,
grinding
a little bit jittery.
Grinding your teeth?
No grinding yet. Listen, up next, Sheena is giving you another chance. Stay home in Dubai. What the celebrity laughs. You've got to guess them. We got another 2 right this morning. But which 2?
Go to our website, virginradiodubai.com. Look at all the incorrect guesses, work it out, and get that 2-bedroom villa plus a 10,000 dirham home makeover, too.
Get on it. Don't miss it. Again, our thoughts and prayers to everyone in Lebanon. We thank you so much for listening to us today. We'll be back later on. From myself, Chris Fade, Pretty Malik, Big Rossi, Phone Guy, Eddie, and Nala. Wear your seatbelts. Yalla, bye.
The Chris Fade Show, back at 6 a.m. Virgin Radio.